Understanding the problem, she whipped out a purple handkerchief and in 30 seconds dislodged the robin and passed it to me. The woman explained how she grew up in the rural South and had always wanted to become a veterinarian, but was dissuaded by her family before life took over. She said how happy she was to see me out there, and as the bird flew away with its mother, she remarked in awe, "God wanted us to meet this morning." I left with two things when we parted ways: a fond memory and that purple handkerchief, a torch passed from a generation of black naturalists who never got their chance. This week is Black Birders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag Black Birders Week on social media and visit birdnote.org.
Welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm back at the Earth Church after a month on the road with the Love Earth Tour with Neil Young and Crazy Horse. 16 of us on the road, two tour buses, amazing. And so we've been trying to make a good radio show from the road. I hope it worked out for you, those of you who listen every week. This week, we're exploring the relationship between high art, the kind that the ruling class loves to listen to, and see, but of course, audio medium. We're going to straight to Nessun Dorma, Pavarotti. The relationship between high culture and the animal world, the natural world, the world that we're all plummeting toward in the sixth extinction. So let's go and plummet together, shall we? Do you like plums? Let's Earthalluyah.
Earthalluyah.
Mare mio mistero è chiuso in me. Il nome mio nessuno saprà. No, no, sulla tua mano dirò. Quando la luce splenderà.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Oh,
That's the kind of experiment that takes place a lot in Earth Riot Radio. High culture or official culture interrupted by the natural world. We throw the natural world at... We've thrown the natural world at Hitler and just all kinds of establishment presidents and bankers. And in this case, it's one of the most opera solos by Pavarotti, Nessun Dorma by Puccini, interrupted by a honey bear, a mountain gopher, and the go-away bird, which sounds like somebody in somebody who's drunk in Brooklyn who really wants you to go away there at the end. I think what we're trying to do is prepare for the interruption that is now underway in our society, where high culture of all kinds, official culture of all kinds, is being interrupted by the natural world, by superstorms, wildfires, viruses, heat waves, tornadoes that are 3 miles wide. Lots and lots of people have had their little moment of classic music interrupted by disasters lately. Now, why would I like set up this sort of remedial shock on the radio show? The fact is that the interruption of the way things were by the natural world is a combination of things. It's humanity plus what we call natural disasters, what we call the sixth extinction. We have awful names for it because we're afraid of it. But the fact is, that's our future. So we're interested in mutual interventions by what has been accepted for centuries and what is now just very bad weather. And I am here. You hear the background sounds. This is the Earth Church, and we have a raging rehearsal by the Stop Shopping Choir. Kids, children running around, and Travis and Isabella here in the foreground, kind of bored, looking at their phones, waiting for me to shut up. Earthaluyah.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. A federal judge has restored Endangered Species Act protections for the gray wolf. In a decision that addressed three related challenges filed by environmental groups, U.S. District Judge Jeffrey White struck down the Fish and Wildlife Service's decision to remove the gray wolf's Endangered Species Act protections. The decision again designates the gray wolf as a threatened species in the lower 48 states, with the exception of the Northern Rockies population, for which wolf protections were removed by Congress in 2011. In Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, state governments manage the wolf populations. Environmental groups and animal lovers cheered the 26-page opinion. The gray wolf is an apex predator. Their presence and well-being has a cascading positive impact on many other species in their habitat. The koala has been added to the critically endangered species list by the Australian government. The impact of prolonged drought, followed by the black summer bushfires, and the cumulative impacts of disease, urbanization, and habitat loss over the past 20 years have led to the decision. The Australian government has pledged $50 million to support the koala and its habitat. Scientists have developed the first fully autonomous biohybrid fish from human stem cell-derived cardiac muscle cells. The artificial fish swims by recreating the muscle contractions of a pumping heart, bringing researchers one step closer to developing a more complex artificial muscular pump and providing a platform to study heart disease like arrhythmia. Cockatoos have shown an extraordinary ability to complete a task by combining simple tools, demonstrating that this cognitive ability is not found only in primates. Tool use is rare in animals, particularly compound tools, where two elements are fixed together, such as a spear or an axe, or composite tools, where two items like a stick and a rock are used together. In humans, these types of tools are recreational activities, such as hockey, cricket, or golf, and it was this that inspired the study design. The Goffin's cockatoo, which is known for its problem-solving skills and its ability to use single tools such as sticks to open up nut and seed shells, had to manipulate a ball through a hole into a closed box, and then use a stick to push the ball to one side of the box where it triggers a trapdoor mechanism. Three of the cockatoos figured out how to use the stick to maneuver the ball into the right position to release the treat, showing a high level of tool innovation. For the first time, researchers observed chimpanzees in Gabon, West Africa, applying insects to their wounds and the wounds of others. In a study published February 7th in the journal Current Biology, scientists describe this wound-tending behavior and argue that it is evidence that chimpanzees have the capacity for prosocial behaviors that have been linked with empathy in humans. Prosocial behavior is behavior that acts in the best interests of others rather than just oneself. This wasn't the first time that non-human animals had been observed self-medicating. Researchers have reported that bears, elephants, and bees do it too. What is remarkable is that so far, insect applications have never been observed, and that the chimps not only treat their own, but also the wounds of others. Lower-income human populations currently face a 40% higher exposure to heat waves than people with higher incomes, according to a new study. By the end of the century, the poorest 25% of the world's population will be exposed to heat waves at a rate equivalent to the rest of the population combined. The study adds to a growing body of evidence that populations who have contributed the least to anthropogenic climate change often bear the brunt of climate change impacts. Babies and children sitting in bicycle trailers breathe in more polluted air than the adults riding the bike that pull them. But trailer covers cut pollution levels in half. Air pollution is a leading cause of death in children under 5. Researchers recommend covering trailers for riders in urban areas. 1 out of 3 people in a large survey showed signs of exposure to a pesticide called 2,4-D. Research at George Washington University found that human exposure to this chemical has been rising as agricultural use of the chemical has increased, especially as Roundup-resistant plants continue to spread. Out of 14,395 human participants in the survey, nearly 33% had detectable levels of 2,4-D in their urine. Exposure to high levels of this chemical has been linked to cancer, reproductive problems, and other health issues. While scientists don't know what the impact of exposure to lower levels of the herbicide might be, they do know that 2,4-D is an endocrine disruptor, and this study shows children and women of childbearing age are at higher risk of exposure. Consumers who want to avoid exposure to pesticide can purchase organically grown food, which is less likely to be grown with weed killers. They can also avoid using 2,4-D or other pesticides on their lawn or garden. The brain has neurons that fire specifically during certain mathematical operations. New findings indicate that some of the neurons detected are active exclusively during addition, while others are active during subtraction. They respond in the same manner whether the calculation instruction is written down as a word or a symbol. The mega drought in the American Southwest has become so severe that it's now the driest 2 decades in the region in at least 1,200 years, scientists said this week, and climate change is largely responsible. The drought, which began in 2000, had previously been considered the worst in just 500 years, according to the researchers. But exceptional conditions in the summer of 2021, when about 2/3 of the West was in extreme drought, made the period between 2000 and 2021 the driest 22 years since 800 AD, which is as far back as the data goes. The analysis also showed that human-caused warming played a major role in making the current drought so extreme. There would have been a drought regardless of climate change, but scientists estimate its severity would have been only about 60% of what it is. And now, the sounds of extinction. The dhul is a canid native to Central, Southeast, and Southeast Asia. Other English names for the species include Asian wild dog, Asiatic wild dog, Indian wild dog, whistling dog, red dog, and mountain wolf. The dhul is a highly social animal, living in large clans without rigid dominance hierarchies and containing multiple breeding females. Such clans usually consist of about 12 individuals, but groups of over 40 are known. It is a diurnal pack hunter, which preferentially targets medium and large size ungulates. In tropical forests, the dhul competes with the tiger and the leopard. It is listed as endangered on the IUCN Red List, as populations are decreasing and estimated to comprise fewer than 2,500 mature individuals. Factors contributing to this include habitat loss, loss of prey, competition with other species, persecution due to livestock predation, and disease transfer from domestic dogs. The dual can be found in Tibet and possibly also in North Korea and Pakistan. And here, the dual, sometimes known as the mountain wolf.
I was in the car with Savitri. Savitri and Billy driving across South Dakota for days, destinationless. Miles and miles of corporate farming, GMO corn, soybeans. And we kept going. We came out to Sioux country. All of a sudden, there weren't any fences anymore. And we gravitated down toward what is known as the Badlands. We paid some money, I think it was $12 or something, to go into the Badlands, a 37-mile drive in your car on the edge of white and pink and purple and black striated rock, very beautiful. A little on the order of the Grand Canyon, coming right out of the prairie. We drove for a while. We had both been there before, years before, when we were much younger. Something about the whole thing was not quite making it for us this time. And we pulled into this scenic, I think they called it a viewing point. I think they were called viewing points. Little parking lots on the edge of the promontory that juts out over the panoramic rock of the Badlands. And we never talked about it, but we just sort of stepped over the fence and sort of walking into the scenic view. And just ingested some kind of, inhaled some sort of breath of bravery or something. And then we sort of walked through a sort of crease in the beautiful layered rocks. I went up into the sky like a city block up. We walked in this little narrow canyon. Came out behind the scenic view. And there was a beautiful meadow there. A kind of, would you call it a swale? What's a swale? Ever heard that word somewhere? There might have been a little stream there. I don't think I saw the stream, but it's a little bit like a valley. We walked into this meadow of all these native long grasses. It's different. We still weren't not talking. I mean, we held hands now and again. Mostly we just kept walking. The wind whistling through the rocks, and then finally we sat down. We lay on our sides, and then waited for a long time, and then the grassland around us began to change. There were heads surfacing in the grasses, looking at us. Animals of different kinds. Antelope, deer, bighorn sheep. So many eyes.
Savitri D, and I'm with the Church of Stop Shopping. I'm here in front of Citibank headquarters during Climate Week.
Fossil fuels have got to go!
It's a climate emergency. This summer shows us that all around the world, floods, fires, we have to change our practices.
Stop funding fossil fuels!
We're focusing on the money pipeline this week.
And fossil fuels!
And fossil fuels!
Citibank and Chase Bank are the number one and two financiers of climate change in this country. Regardless of what these big institutions say here about their practices in the global south, they are investing more and more in fossil fuel and industrial agriculture. And we know that the impacts of those investments hurt people. They kill people. We went down to Citibank. We shut down the HQ there. About 1,000 employees who go in there every day were prevented from entering work.
Community of the J.P. Morgan East Bank. Protect us!
And just now we've come to a branch here in Midtown Manhattan and done a very different kind of action. JP Morgan Chase invested $435 billion in fossil fuel and extraction since the Paris Climate Accords, and they signed on to the accords. Chase Bank continues to invest more money in extraction and fossil fuel in the global south than they do in green energy in the global south. This is something we don't talk about a lot in the U.S. because we don't have to here. We're so privileged here.
You are obstructing the entrance to this facility. You have been advised to vacate the front of this establishment, or you will be arrested.
We're failing, obviously. We're all failing. We're failing at this, but people are dying. Children are dying. This can't go on.
Hello, Reverend Billy again here. Hi. Well, saying goodbye now after a half hour of being together. Tried to put together a glorious, triumphant composers, the colonizers, composers for the elite Western colonizers, and also the animals. And you start thinking about the habitats that are being attacked. Colonized. And then you think about humanity more generally. And if we're remembering struggles on Memorial Day, I do remember the many illegal and immoral wars that have been perpetrated by the country I'm a part of here since I was a kid. And I know that many people I'm talking to know exactly what I'm talking about. The weight that we bear because violent people have been running our country for so long. The weight that protesters bear right now because they are so quickly called terrorists and so quickly... the habitat of animals is they're going away. The ability to have enough territory that you can live in, such that you can, you know, raise young ones and have your food gathering and have your life is just shrinking constantly under a barrage of profit taking but that runs parallel to the people that are trying to save those habitats, the people that might be activists such as ourselves and our friends who are trying to defend the earth, the people who want to defend the earth have less and less of a cultural habitat in which to do their work, in which to live their lives. So we have much to remember, and we have to find in that memory a way to be positive, a way to look forward, which might feel like science fiction. It might feel like you're making something up that is just a little bit impossible, but that's another world is possible. We deal in the impossible, am I right? That's how evolution goes forward. That's what the Earth teaches us. Somebody give me an earth-a-luia here today.